Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good Christmas Eve day to you. Brevard County, we are thankful that you are tuning in to the Refresh Radio program right here on 91.5 FM. And so we pray that you are having a great, great Christmas season and that you are going to enjoy the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. We want to say Merry Christmas to Pastor Paul Esposito and Island Community Church. And thank him for all of his efforts that bring the Refresh Radio program to you throughout the year. And he's got his own program, WGOD, and that broadcasts at what time? 7 a.m. If you don't have anything else to do at 7 a.m. of a morning, tune in to Pastor Paul Esposito and WGOD. And so have a great, great Christmas season. I pray that you will not be stressed out during this time at all, and you will not miss out on the primary reason that we have to celebrate, and that is the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus came to turn this world right side up. He came to restore that which sin and deceit and rebellion had destroyed, and restore to us once again the ability to have a glorious relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. So yesterday we started talking. Oh, before I get into the word, let me take this opportunity to personally invite you out to our Christmas Eve communion service. It will not be a candlelight service. We have some battery-powered candles and things like that. We don't want to burn the place down or anything. But we will be having a Christmas Eve communion service tonight. There will be plenty of seats available. We would love to have you come and join us, be a part of the worshiping of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ at this wonderful time of year. Be a very good steward of your time. We will start at 6 o'clock with you or without you. We will end at or before 7 o'clock. And we're not going to rush things. We've just, you know, become very good stewards of people's times during this time. And I hope you got a chance to maybe drive around and look at some Christmas decorations. I very rarely get to put up Christmas decorations other than I've got some animated snowmen that I put outside that form a little choir. But that's about as far as I get as far as external decorations with all of the other things that we have going on during this time of year. But hopefully you'll get to drive around and appreciate some of the hard work and high electric bills that people have that have put up a few more decorations than I have. So 6 o'clock tonight, and if I don't see you there, have a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. So for the next several days, we will have some messages that will be rebroadcast. I do a Christmas message every year that reading through the Christmas story, so you can catch that tomorrow morning at 8:30, 5 o'clock here on WMIE, 10:30 on WWBC. And then from Thursday, there'll be a program that aired previously Thursday, Friday, Monday, Tuesday, and then there's a New Year's message on that day. So we will resume live current broadcast right here on January the 2nd of 2020. Mercy. My, how time flies when you're having fun. So let's go back to Psalm 37. Do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. Rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Cease from anger. Forsake wrath. Do not fret. It only causes harm. So yesterday we were talking about this passage, about how we need to allow ourselves the luxury of experiencing the presence of the Lord. Let's not deprive ourselves. I tell you, there is nothing that the devil can do to prevent you from experiencing that luxury, but we can make the choice to ignore the greatest privileges that we have been given. We don't want to do that, but far too often we get so caught up in the frenzied pace of life that we end up depriving ourselves of the good, the great, the fantastic relationship that God wants us to have. So we also talked yesterday about trusting in the Lord, doing good, dwelling in the land, and feeding on his faithfulness. So I pray that your spiritual feasts over the next several days will far surpass the feast that you entrust to your body. I pray that your spirit will be completely and thoroughly satisfied with the goodness of God as you feed on his faithfulness more than your taste buds are satisfied. And I pray that they are thoroughly satisfied. So he goes on, he says, he shall give you the desires of your heart. Now, I want you to understand that what that passage means is he will birth the desires in our heart that are pleasing and acceptable to him, and then he will grant the fulfillment of those desires. He's working on both ends of the equation. He's working to create the longing in our heart for what he wants us to have. And then he says, now I'm going to satisfy that. Now I am going to give you the thing that you have set your heart upon. So trust, dwell, feed, delight, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Verse number 5 says this, commit your way to the Lord. What I'm going to talk about today are some of just the little admonitions that God gives to us here in Psalm 37. If we can do the things that God tells us to through David in this passage, we're going to have the highest quality of life that you could ever imagine. You might not show up on the lifestyles of the rich and famous, but you will show up on the lifestyles of the blessed and faithful. So let me recap some of these. Do not fret. Do not worry. Do not be anxious. Trust in the Lord is number 2. Trust in the Lord. Number 3 is do good. Be a blessing. Be a blessing to God. Be a blessing to your spouse. Be a blessing to your family. Be a blessing to your church. Be a blessing to your neighbors. Be a blessing at work. Be a blessing wherever you are. Dwell in the land. Be a person who knows that you are there on purpose for God's purpose. Dwell in the land. Elevate your expectations beyond just existing to abiding, occupying, and thriving in the presence of God. Okay, so that's number 4. Number 5, feed on his faithfulness. Feed on his faithfulness. Remind yourself often of the faithfulness of God. Number six, delight yourself also in the Lord. Delight yourself also in the Lord. Number seven is in verse number five. Commit your way to the Lord. I remember several years ago, I was going through a prayer time in my life, and I said this, God, whatever you want, however much you want, for however long you want, it is for your glory. It is for your glory. And so that has been a deliverance for me from coveting to try and meet some of the worldly competitive statuses that might be out there. If we're not careful, they can creep into our heart. Commit your way to the Lord. I believe that the relationship that we have with Jesus is supposed to be a relationship of commitment, not just convenience. You will find commitment is extremely beneficial, whether it is hauling the trash out, commitment as whether or not you're singing or studying, whatever it is. It takes commitment. One of the things that distinguishes people who excel in their field of expertise over others many times has to do with their level of commitment. And so several years ago when I had a health episode, I came away because the physician said, now I'm going to need you to be a very compliant patient. And as I realized that what that doctor was telling me was that they had committed themselves to expertise. That it wasn't what I felt like, it was what they knew. They had committed, they had studied, they had been supervised, they had experienced, they knew what was necessary, and so I had to commit myself to following their orders so that I could have the best quality of life. If I didn't, they were still going to go home and they were going to sleep wonderfully. They had done their part. They had committed to learn. They had committed to practice. Now I needed to commit myself to benefiting from all of their expertise. What if we did that with God? What if we stopped telling him how to do our life for us? What if we said, God, we may not understand everything, but we trust you. We're committed to this process. There is no emergency exit. There is no escape hatch that I'm going to utilize. I have come too far to turn back now. I am fully, wholly, and completely committed to your way, O Lord. For your ways are higher than my ways, and your thoughts are higher than my thoughts. I'm committed to seeing this journey not just begin, but to complete. So I was talking with a man from church, and he had had a person that he had led to Jesus that had passed away. And he said, yeah, we led him to the Lord and he died faithful. He said, but Pastor, there were some ups and downs in between there. And I said, you know, I had a round of golf once, and I said, I parred the very first hole and I parred the very last hole. And you would think that if you started well and you ended well, that there was no adventure in between. I said, but those were the two highlights of my round, the start and the finish. It wasn't that I wasn't trying in between there, but I experienced a lot of frustration in that round. And I said, I am afraid that there are too many of us that we start the journey well and we finish well, but we may not be as committed to the leadership of the Lord during those in-between stages, the journey part of it, not the departure and not the arrival, but that journey in between there is where the level of commitment. So you see, when I married my wife, I didn't just want the marriage to begin well. I didn't just want it to end well. I want the journey, all of the years, the decades in between. I want them to be years and years of committed love between my wife and I. So commit your way to God. The next one, it says, trust also in him and he shall bring it to pass. The verse number 3 said, trust in the Lord and do good. This says, commit your way to the Lord and trust in him and he shall bring it to pass. We are responsible for the trusting. We're responsible for the doing our part. We're responsible to feed on his faithfulness. We're responsible for delighting ourselves in the Lord and allowing us to enjoy that luxury. We're responsible for the commitment. Again, we're responsible to trust him, but he's responsible for bringing it to pass. One of the things that the Lord is challenging me, I've already shared this with my congregation, is that our congregation has experienced a great number of people experiencing sickness and disease and affliction. And God has challenged me, since I'm responsible to know the condition of my flock. Well, if my flock is experiencing sickness and disease, I need to address the need of the flock. And so in 2020, that's what we are going to do. We are going to continue to fast and pray and believe, and we are going to preach on healing, and we're going to be doing that on Sunday mornings. We're going to be speaking life. But you know what? I'm not the one that is responsible for the healing. God is. So I'm going to trust in him. I'm going to walk in obedience because I trust that his command is a rock-solid command. I can trust his commandments. And I'm going to expect that he is going to bring it to pass. It goes on and says, he shall bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. Rest in the Lord. There's our next admonition, is that we are supposed to rest in him. Now, I'm a person that whatever I'm doing, I'm generally doing it pretty well. I'm committed to doing. If it's working, then let's get after it. Let's work. Let's get this thing accomplished. If I'm resting, then I want to do that very well as well. I want to be very diligent in my resting. Rest in the Lord. God has promised his people a Sabbath rest. And this last year, I remember one of the challenges that God spoke into my life is when he said, when I have commanded you to rest, I want you to do that unto the glory of the Lord. Rest for the glory of the Lord. We live in such a dynamic time that if we're not careful, we think we've got to be running to and fro and constantly doing something. But when the something that God has assigned us to do is rest, we need to be very diligent in that. So my daughter got married in November. And one of the things that they've seen since they got married is that they come from two different dynamics. See, we've been ministry, and in spite of the fact that I've tried to help encourage people to build margin in their life, they didn't see me putting that into practice a lot. And so many people in my family, slowing down is very difficult. Well, he came from a ministry family as well, and they worked. And when they weren't working, they were resting. And so they're figuring out a healthy balance between that doing that is talked about in verse number 3, because you trust in God to accomplish, as well as the resting, which God commands in verse number 7. And the rest is in the Lord. The rest is in the Lord. One of the things I read recently, and to be honest with you, I can't even remember where I read it, but it said that we need to utilize the different areas of our makeup, not as in cosmetics, but the way that God constituted us. You know, body, soul, and spirit. We need to utilize those things. And when we utilize areas that we haven't been utilizing before, it rejuvenates the rest of our being. So if you're constantly doing physical labor and you allow yourself to engage your spirit and your mind as you're studying and praying to God, you're going to find that extremely restful. Okay? There were times when I managed retail stores, not a lot of physical demand. And so when I would come home, I would go to work on the church, and my wife would say, "How can you find that restful?" And I said, "Because I'm utilizing a different part of my brain. It's something that's not the same thing." So, but there are times where God says, "Would you just sit at my feet? And would you wait patiently for me?" Wait patiently for me. What? I wonder why the patiently is there. I suspect that the patiently is there because it takes the fruit of the Spirit of patience for us to really accomplish that. How do we wait patiently? Only by the Spirit. You see, I don't think that means that we just sit there and we don't do anything. I think it means that we are still trusting God to do His part, and we're going to continue to do our part. We are waiting patiently for God. I want to encourage you, don't grow impatient with God. Saul, King Saul in the Old Testament, was getting ready to go to battle. The men were there, and there was an instruction from Samuel. He said, "I'm going to show up at such and such a time, and I'm going to offer the sacrifice." Well, the men got frustrated. It wasn't quick enough for them. And so Saul said, "You know what? If I don't do something, these people are going to leave." And so Saul took the mantle of priest upon himself, ended up doing the sacrifice, and about the time he was getting done, Samuel showed up, and he said, "What's going on?" And he said, "It's the people's fault. They were all about to leave, and so you were late," and that was one of the key moments in Saul's reign as king, where Samuel said, "This isn't going to end up well." Obedience is better than sacrifice. Don't grow impatient with God. It doesn't mean that we're static, that we're stationary, that we don't move, that we don't do anything, but we're not going to cease to trust God. We're going to continue to believe. We are going to continue to persevere. And we're going to continue to watch for God to show up and bring the miracle result that he needs. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way. Cease from anger. I've only got a couple of more minutes. Okay, so we've talked about do not fretting. And it says, cease from anger, forsake wrath. Cease from anger, for Sacraft. Don't go through Christmas angry. If you've got an anger problem, let Jesus deliver you from that. You say, you don't understand, I come from a long line of people with anger issues. When I read verse number 8, I don't see an addendum. I don't see that it says cease from anger unless you have a family history of anger. What I hear is God saying, stop being angry, forsake wrath, abandon it, get over it, leave it behind. Take, you know, when I have something in my house that I don't want in my house anymore, I take it to the garbage can, the trash bin. In fact, there are things that I'm highly motivated to get out of my house because I don't want even the scent of those things permeating the atmosphere. I not only not want them in my house, I don't want them influencing my house. And God says, we need anger out of our life. The last thing, as you're celebrating Christmas, don't get upset about all of the little issues that you say, you don't understand, this is important to me. But is it important to God? Don't get angry. And he says, do not fret. This is the third time. It only causes harm. As you are looking at this Christmas season, understand that the things that God commands us to do, as he's teaching us what desires we should set our heart upon, it's not because he's looking to injure us. It's because he is looking to spare us from harm. God's way is the best way. It's a healthy way. It's a holy way. If you want a life filled with misery, go ahead, try and do it your way, but it won't work out in the end. Delight yourself in the Lord this Christmas, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. This is Pastor Bob Arthurs from Merit Assembly of God wishing you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. We got some best of programs for the next few days. I'll be back here after the new year. God bless you.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Lifting up my hands, lifting.